This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting. Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Adam Catterall and Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that
on TalkSport.
Welcome to the Fight Night podcast from Talk Sport. I'm Adam Catterall. Pleasure to be in your company every single Saturday night. I sit in the studio at Talk Sport Towers, bringing you the very best boxing guests. If you can't make it live, then make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you never miss out on any of the content that we bring you. And on Saturday night, I spoke to a young man that is going for world title honours in Saudi Arabia on March the 8th. Yes, Anthony Joshua is taking on Francis Ngannou. Yes, Yeli Zhang is taking on Joseph Parker. But a little scouser by the name of Nick Ball is taking on Ray Vargas to become the WBC Flyweight World Champion. And we're extremely excited about it. Nick, join myself and Gareth on the show on Saturday to preview.
What's happening? You're all good, yeah?
Very well indeed.
All good, mini Mike Tyson.
Have you been doing any CrossFit today just because you were bored by any chance?
Yeah, this morning in peak performance, yeah.
Good lad. How did you go? Silver medals, gold medals, bronze medals, what did you get?
Yeah, it was good. Team of three workout with it.
Good lad.
Brad and Peter McGrail.
Tell you what, some gym that. Listen, last time out, sensational performance against Isaac Dobby, a guy that has been there, done it and got the T-shirt. Obviously, he's a tough old boy. You had him down. I think it was in the fourth round, wasn't it? And he managed to weather that storm and stay with you. But I think on that night, Nick, a lot of people obviously have been building you up as a knockout puncher. You got to show off some of the skills that you've been learning against some of those sparring partners like Peter and the rest of them.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Because it's not just coming forward and trying to take your head off. I can box as well, and I've got skill behind it. It's more than just power. And I was glad that I had to show it. Well, not had to. I got the chance to show that on the world level as well. So, yeah.
What's the phone call like when your promoter rings you and says, "Right, mate, I've managed to get it," because you never know when these things are going to materialise. But what's that phone call like when they said, "You're fighting for a world title, mate, and you're fighting for on the AJ Ngannou undercard, Sunshine. Do you fancy it?"
Yeah, you'd have to bring him back and double check.
Listen,
last time I was on, we were speaking about it. You mentioned it, and then you said at the end, how does that sound? The world title featherweight shot in Saudi.
Mate, we've got it now. Obviously, Ray Vargas. What did you make? I know that last time out, he stepped up in weight, didn't he, to try and have a go at Oshaki Foster, and he came up a little bit late. What did you make of that? Because up to that point, at Feather, he's been bang on. He's been undefeated through 36, and obviously, last time out, he lost that fight. Do you see the chinks in the armoury? Do you see the gaps that you can obviously take advantage of?
Yeah. To be honest, I haven't really watched them to see that, but I know myself, the best version of me, I can do that to anyone and anyone in this weight category. So I don't really focus on them. I just work on myself, be the best version I can be, and I can take anyone apart in this weight division.
One of the big talking points, Nick, great for you to be on. You know what a huge fan both Adam and myself are of you. And I've always pushed you to be slightly more outrageous than you are. But you're outrageous in the ring anyway. I always called you kind of a muscle shark, a mini Mike Tyson. I know you like that. One of the things that you might have watched was when Vargas fought in Hull in 2017. Do you remember that one?
In where? In Hull?
Yeah, against Gavin McDonnell. He got a majority decision that night. Now, I'm picking you to win a very rough, tough points decision in this fight, okay? One of the things that is going to be asked of you over and over again, he's 5'2", he's 5'8", I think you're 5'2", 5'3". How do you close the range against him? Because he is a good long-range fighter.
Yeah, like I always do. It's not new to me fighting these tall opponents. It's not new to me. It's probably harder for them to punch down when they're punching at me or trying to punch down at me. They're not really used to it. And even if they are, it's not a problem for me anyway. I've been like that my whole life, punching up. So yeah, it's not new. I'll show you how I'll do that on the night.
So you're not going all Mexican on us. It's not going to be a Mexican war then, yeah? Because he likes to fight that way.
Yeah, it can be any way it wants, really, however it plays out. However I decide, to be honest, yeah? Just have to wait and see.
Can I just say, did you feel really complimented the other day when Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn were interviewed together? And Eddie Hearn was asked, which of Frank Warren's boxers would you choose? And he chose Nick Bull. Did you see that?
Yeah, seeing it, yeah. Really said
if you could
promote.
Have one of Frank's boxers to promote, so, how did that make you feel?
Like it should be, innit? That's how it should be, yeah.
Nick, when you going out to Saudi, mate, to get acclimatised?
Wednesday.
This Wednesday coming?
Oh, yeah, so you're going this Wednesday.
Excellent. So you're out a good, 9-10 days pre-fight to get yourself, obviously, acclimatised with the surroundings out there?
Yeah, get used to it, innit? Do a bit of training out there and get ready for the fight night.
How many of the crew have been on to you regarding tickets, mate?
Loads, yeah. There's loads coming over, to be honest, yeah. So, appreciate all the support, because it's an expensive trip, innit? So, loads of the lads are coming over to support me, yeah.
Yeah, it should be good. And obviously, yeah. I know that you're not going to be looking ahead of anything because this is massive world title opportunity against Ray Vargas. But if that's goes the way that many of us are going to predict that it's going to go, then there's going to be calls for some monster fights, mate. Now, there's coming up a Matchroom versus Queensbury card, isn't there, where Queensbury fighters and Matchroom fighters are going to be pitted against each other. I'm sure that you've had a chat with Frank, mate. I'm sure you've had a little bit of a nosy in there at some point. And I'm just doing a bit of spit. Seeing as that we did this last time and it came to fruition and obviously we've got the world title fight, I'm going to start doing it again now. What about maybe a little throwdown with Josh Warrington or something
Wood.
Like that? Lee Wood, Josh Warrington, something like that.
Nick Ball, Lee Wood. I mean, that is a thriller, isn't it?
Yeah, you only have to go on Twitter to see that. And everyone's put my name in and I'm put their name in back and forth. When the posters and things got made, my name was in the comments the most. So you only have to look on Twitter and Instagram and see that. But to be honest with you, I'm fully focused on this fight first, because if I don't win this fight, there's no that. That's not an option, really. So, yeah, I don't look past anyone or underestimate anyone.
Top man.
So, fully focused on this fight and see what happens after this fight.
Now, following that, a young man that was number one with the WBO, who has been in the wilderness, it seems, for the last 3 to 4 years. He joined us in the studio on Saturday night to give us an update as to where he's at promotionally, where he's at when it comes to his training regime, and whether we can get him out in the ring sometime soon and fighting for world honours. I'm referring to Archie Shaw.
I've been in the gym, mate.
Florida?
No, I've been over in the UK, sunny UK. It's been busy. I've been busy. I've been in the gym. I've added a few members to the team, so that's been very exciting.
Tell us about that then.
So we now have Roy Jones Jr.
That was what I was on about. I thought it might be over in...
No, we're over here. So we've got Roy Jones, we've got Ian Weaver, and my original trainer, Richard Sawyer. So that's our free team at the minute. And it's going very well, very exciting, and looking forward to getting back in 2024.
But from being the number one with the WBO the last time we were speaking, because we were talking about the likes of Shakur, who's now left this division and gone up and become a champion.
And become
the
a champion again,
I remember this conversation being stemming all the way back to when Carl Frampton was fighting Jermell Herring, and you were next in line to be fighting the winner of that particular fight.
Yes.
What's been going on regarding fights and getting that level of fight?
Oh, it's been unbelievable, honestly. Like you say, Jermell Herring, Shakur Stevenson, Navarrete's, all these big names, Oscar Valdez. I think Liam. So it was last January, I was supposed to fight for a final eliminator against Liam Wilson, the Australian kid. In America, it was January last year, and then Valdez got injured because he was fighting Navarrete, and then they called on Wilson to fight Navarrete, but I was number one, so skipped number one, skipped number two, went to Liam Wilson, and all of a sudden he's got a shot at the WBO world title.
Funny old game.
It's a funny old one. So they ended up boxing, and then I think Wilson and Oscar Valdez are fighting again soon, so It's all been going on, and unfortunately, they've all kept me out of the mix. But I believe it's because I'm a massive, massive risk and a hard fight for all these fighters, and I believe I beat all of them. And unfortunately, that's just how the cookies crumbled for me in the last couple of years.
So with that in mind, right, you were the number one with the WBO.
Yeah.
I just checked the rankings before we started the show, and you're at three, right? Is that right?
I believe, January's was number three, but I haven't seen this month, so...
Right, so I checked it earlier on, it says three, but you were number one.
Since November 21, yes.
Right. Haven't lost?
Nope.
Okay. They've never called a mandatory?
Nope.
They've never called an eliminator?
No. Well, they called an eliminator, but then missed me out and obviously let Wilson fight. So it was supposed to be me and Wilson for the for a final eliminator.
Yes. And then he went in for the fight with Navarrete.
Then he went in for the fight with Navarrete, and skipped me. But yeah, so it's crazy.
What conversations are you having with the sanctioning body?
Well,
you must have been paying your sanctioning fees all this way along to get yourself into this position.
Yes, I believe I beat Leon Woodstock in October 2018. That was what got me into the top 15 in the WBO. So I've been paying my sanctioning fees since then. Been defending anyone they've been asking me to fight. Obviously, I won the global. And like I say, I've been defending it against everyone. And still no call-ups and paying the sanctioning fees and still no world title. Not even a shot. I think that's the most disappointing thing for myself, is that not even getting a shot. To showcasing what I know I can really do, what I've been kind of doing for the last 5 years in the WBO.
Are you still with Queensbury? Are you still with Frank Warren? Because that was your promoter last time we were speaking.
I was with Frank, and then I left Frank and ended up with a company called ProBellum, which kind of it didn't really kick off, to be honest with you. And now I'm in negotiations, and like I say, God willing, I'm in a big fight very, very soon, back on the big platforms.
So are you a free agent right now?
At the minute, I am technically a free agent, yes.
Are you speaking to any of the major promoters?
Yes. Back on the big fights, big scenes, and that's what it's all about. Like you say, 24-0, I looked at the rankings the other day, in the British rankings, and I don't believe there's anybody with as many fights as myself, unbeaten. I think you've got Tyson Fury, but he's got a draw. But yeah, so that's where I'm at the minute.
Sorry, Gareth, it annoys me, things like this, when a young fighter doesn't get an opportunity.
It's boxing, Adam, unfortunately.
But I get it, but it's not fair on a young man's career, is it? Now, since this conversation,
yes,
Joe Cordina has obviously done well and he's become world champion in this division. Obviously, we're all big fans of Lee Wood on here. He's now up into this division.
He's coming to the super feather, and I believe he's now crawled into the WBO world rankings as well. So,
Well, you've got Zelfa Barrett, you've got Jordan Gill. It's a really good group of fighters, frankly. What I would say, and it's clear in you that you're slightly irked by it.
Rightfully so.
But these guys are made of amazing stuff. So every day in the gym, he's hitting a concrete wall looking to smash it down. And it's key now that he finds the right person to lead that march and find a route and a strategic map. Gary Stretch will tell you in a minute when he comes in. He didn't always have it his own way as well. And this is 25 years ago. It's always gone on. Mm. I hope there are people counselling you.
Yes.
Who know in the sport, who have mentors, who know how the game works, and say, don't worry, Archie, work away. Do the things that you need to improve on, because your time will come. You know that already.
Yeah, for sure. Like I say, I'll stay disciplined, and I'm very grateful to be in a position. I've got a great like beautiful family. I stayed dedicated to the sport.
And ready.
And I'm ready.
Like.
And that's
yeah.
it. I'm ready.
So I said,
my time will come.
Tonight, you look on shape.
Yeah, I feel in good shape. I feel great mentally, physically. I know I've had a lot of, like I say, political things going on and not getting that bit of luck, but I've just stayed disciplined to the sport. I'm only 28. I've had no hard career.
Have you got a message for Ben Shalom? Have you got a message for Eddie Hearn?
Yeah, listen, I'm
or
out
Oscar
here ready.
De La Hoya or Bob Ratt.
I'm here ready for the big fights. There's no one that's, do you know what I mean? I'm ready to go.
Eddie Hearn has those fighters. That's what I was leading towards. Cordina, Lee Wood. I think Lee Wood's just gone. He's a free agent as well, I think. From listening to Eddie Hearn this week. Zelfa Barrett, Jordan Gill. That's an Eddie Hearn fight coming up in a couple of weeks' time, isn't it? I know that Anthony Kakachi is a Frank fighter. You've got John O'Carroll, who's an Irish fighter there, that's reasonably well placed as well. For me, looking at that, Matchroom seemed to be a home of which could generate the fights that you want.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's... like I say, I've looked at them fighters myself. I've been looking at the rankings all the time. I keep a very close eye on everyone in around my division and even a lightweight division, to be honest with you. Because
What's the kind of advice that Roy Jones Jr. is giving you about this at the moment then?
It's all in God's plan. It's all in God's plan and we haven't had it given to us and it's just give us more time to prepare. So for me, calling Shakur Stevenson out, I think it was, a year or two ago, maybe longer than that now. Even in Navarrete's, all these big fights, I do feel like everything happens for a reason.
Let them all move to lightweight for a while. I don't know.
I know it will happen.
But there's timing to this. Are you the complete fighter yet then?
Are you ready
for world titles?
Listen, I believe I'm ready for world titles now at 130, 100%. Now I've got Roy and the team, Ian Weaver, Richard Sawyer. I've got my nutritionist, Paul. I've got a great team and we're ready to go. And like I say, having that year with Roy now,
What's it changed in you?
Do you know what? I watch fights now completely different now. I used to watch fights coming from Roy. So when I watch a normal boxing match now, it's not how I used to watch it. Like, it's very different. Like, I'm looking at things that probably won't go into too much detail. That's my little...
No, come on, give us the detail.
That's my little thing. But I mean, I'm looking at things completely different now and then analysing the sport in a different way. And I believe it's just brought me on... A lot more of a fighter, and I think that will show. That will show in these big fights. That's why I believe I think I'm for a reason. I've had a good year with Roy, good year with the team. We've all settled in, gelled very well. I was out in December on a little York Hall show. Mm-hmm. I got 10 rounds in, which was nice. And now I'm just ready to get straight back in here. A big fight on a big platform is exactly what I need to get everyone talking about Archie Sharp again. Back on the world scenes, and then that's it. I'll go and do what I believe I've been destined to do, which is win world titles, not only at 130 but 135. Like I say, the Shakur fight, I am still chasing him down. Regardless, everyone's going the other way. I'm going head on towards him because I do believe I beat Shakur Stevenson, and whether that's at 135 or 140, I don't know, but we will see. Because it's not just one world title at one weight I'm winning.
Oh, lovely shot! That was a tremendous left hand. Right in the danger spot. He's gone down, and is he going to get up? I'm not sure he is.
And still, WBO European Super Featherweight Champion, Archie the Sharpshooter Sharp.
You're listening to Fight Night on TalkSport. I'm Adam Cattell. Gareth A. Davis is alongside me. Archie Sharp is in the studio. He's just been telling me the situation with the WBO in his weight division. And the champion there is Emmanuel Navarrete, who I think is a fantastic fighter. I really do.
Yep.
And he's got the opportunity, Navarrete, to step up in weight and challenge for some vacant titles up at lightweight. But in the meantime, his belt at 130 then gets put on ice and gets put on ice for a long period of time. So therefore, the people that are working their way through rankings, paying sanctioning fees, getting themselves in opportunities, have to wait, 9-12 months before they even get a sniff?
For a mandatory, I believe that he's protected really until February 25 before he fights a mandatory. So this was my argument. So basically, he can now go up to lightweight. I believe the belts stay with him at 130, still stay with him. He wins, lose or draws, whatever he does, he makes that decision after he's boxed for at 135.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then belts, technically tied up until then. But like you say, he can fight in May or whenever the fight's due to happen, and then you don't know when he's going to make that decision to let the 130 belt go, or he might stay at 130. I don't really know at the minute, but like I say, everything's just tied up. That's coming from the WBO themselves. So,
when are you looking to make a decision regarding promoter? Because listening to the whole story here, it feels like to me that you need someone obviously championing your cause, someone that's obviously making the shows in order to get you on the show in a fight of which can showcase your talents, which then can make you attractive to those types of fighters in order to make the big fight that you want.
Yeah, exactly that. We need a big, like I say, a big so stage
over
it.
When are you looking to get that done?
ASAP. I know Roy Jones is on my case. He's on. He's out in America. And he's pushing out there as well. So, like I say, God willing, Saint comes through very, very soon. But we're ready to go. And like I say, I believe I'll beat anyone who Eddie's got, I'll beat anyone who Frank's got. And I do believe I am the best super featherweight in the country. So whatever promoter does get behind me, whether it's over here, or if we just go straight to the States, we'll go straight out there. There's some good fights out there as well. So it would be nice if a UK promoter, we go with the UK, we've got a big UK support. We've got great support with everyone, even though we've been out the ring for a little while. And like I say, we had COVID and then the situation with the promoter side of Pro Bellum and things like that. So it's been a good 4 years and everyone's still stuck by me and they're all itching to get back out. The Archie Sharp Army is ready to go. Full force.
Be honest now, because people listen to this, then listen to sports stations and they have these athletes that come on this station and the audience perception is... athletes are multimillionaires. They're all living in mansions. They're all driving around in nice motors and all this type of carry on, right? But boxing, as me and Gareth know, we travelled the country going to gyms and all this type of stuff. We know it's a very different tale for a lot of people. Firstly, speak about how mentally tough it's been over the last 4 years and how this affects other parts of your life. You've got four kids. You've got, you know,
wife, got a wife to
take care of, all these types of things, man. So how does... what is happening to you outside the ring affecting life in general?
Oh, it's been very hard. I mean, there's been times where I've been thinking I might have to go back to work. I don't know. But I've been very grateful and very thankful to support, to sponsors and things like that. They've kind of kept me going, kept me in the gym because, like you say, mentally, I sit there and think, oh, really, is this for me? Do you know what I mean? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And then I speak to Roy or I speak to mentors and things. And I'm like, Arch, you've dedicated your whole life. You boxed at the age of 7. You won multiple national titles, 24-0. I've done so much in the sport. Your shot will come. And even though I believe I've got a wiser than my shoulders at 28, I am only young. I do believe I'm only young. I've not had a hard career. And I feel like the best of myself is yet to come. So I've just kind of, like I say, mentally stay strong. I believe everything happens for a reason. I'll do it for not. It's not just myself now; it's for the kids, and you know? I want to change their lives. So, and to do so, this boxing is the way to do it. So.
You must have an incredibly supportive family.
Yeah, very good. Because my wife's unbelievable.
Because that's a tough conversation, isn't it? Because there's real life. There's your dreams and hopes and aspirations, exactly. And then there's real life.
And that's the thing. Like you say, you got dreams and you got reality. You got bills. You got house. You got cars. You got things that gotta get paid for. And sometimes, like you say, you sacrifice, and that's what's been happening in the last few years, sacrifice, and it's not just making the weight, it's been everything, you know?
But you've also got the calling to it, which is deep inside you, you've got the addiction to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you say you've contemplated going back to work, what would that entail?
Well, that's what I mean, it'd be a whole new life.
Is that
changing.
Back to building, is that back to doing what?
Building will probably be my way I'll be looking at, the path I'll be looking at, because my dad's been building it's the industry that I know, like property, like I love property development, things like that, so that's kind of where I would edge towards. But
it always gets darker before it gets light,
exactly. I believe I'm one of them stories, and I can't wait to write a book about it, because
I can see your hands,
all
the
fighters
have been given
here opportunities
like that.
And I feel like I was on the rise, and then we've had, like you say, COVID come and a few other things, and then it just never happened, but it will happen, and then that's what, you know what I mean, you've got to go
through
these things.
Your frustration is so tangible in the studio tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
That frustration.
Listen, I feel it,
but
because he's a young guy.
Take it,
he's on
make
hold.
A rock out of it, and when you bring it,
it'd be worth it, hopefully.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Getting a few texts here, wanting to ask you a few questions here. This is actually, I think, just outside your weight category, but he is a talented fighter, so I'll ask you anyway. Can I ask Archie how good he thinks Andy Cruz is? Andy Cruz is in action tonight, actually, on the Edgar Belanga undercard there. How good do you think he is, and do you think anybody can beat him?
Yeah, I think he's beatable. I think all fighters are beatable. It's just, like you say, I think he's a great fighter. I really do. Do I fancy my chance against him 100%? I'll come to any weight. Do you know what I mean? But no, I think he's a great fighter. And like you say, he's out tonight, and it'd be interesting to see how his career really does go on.
When it comes to your shot,
yeah,
could you have thought about it? Who do you really want? Who do you want?
Shakur, he wants.
Shakur's been...
But he's out of the weight category at the moment, and he's gone the light. So we're going to do this at Super Feather, yeah?
Yeah.
So who do you want? When you get the opportunity to fight for a world title at Super Featherweight, who do you want to be stood across from you?
It's got to be the Navarrete fight, I believe. It's got to be Navarrete.
Why?
Just because it'd be a great fight, because he's non-stop. From the first bell to the last bell, he's non-stop. So I know how disciplined I'd have to be. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's a fight that brings the best of Archie Sharp. Because all fighters have said over the years, even since being a dear little young boy in the ring, sit on Archie's chest, put the pressure on him, dude, and that's all I've been used to. And I feel like you'll see the best of myself when someone like him comes charging out. And we've seen that Wilson caught him and put him over with a good left hook. And look, we see what happened with Deco. We caught him with a good left hook, so it can definitely happen.
Can I throw a different thing? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, is Navarrete the best in the division for you?
I think he's the biggest. I think he's the best name, I think. Look, Joe Cordina's a great champion. I've done many rounds with Joe, many rounds. And he's done very, very well. It'd be interesting to see if he stays at 130, though, because I know he's been very pushing tight for the weight. But if he stays at 130, then of course, look, like I say, we know each other on a personal basis, but it's business at the end of the day. So if the fight's there and the money's right and the platform, Saudi, you know what I mean, there's any fights.
Can I ask you, it's been thrown at us, I ask you what you think of Tank Davis against Conor Benn, how that would have played out?
My honest opinion?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't see, when I say anyone's beatable, yeah, I do believe that. But Gervonta Davis, I think he's special. And I think that it's a great fight.
So even at 135 to 147,
I think he carries the power. I think he carries the power. I really do. Conor Benn's a great, great fighter, great champion. But I mean, like, he's a great fighter. But yeah, I think that's a step over his limit, to be honest with you. That's my personal opinion. Yeah. I think the man punches too hard, and I think if they do meet in the middle, there's only going to be one person walking through him, and that's Gervonta Davis.
Can we throw you another one? Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia coming up?
It's a very interesting one. I was never a fan of Devin Haney, to be fair. I was never a fan of him, but I do believe he's come on.
Correct.
I think he's definitely come on, and especially after the last fight with Prograte, I think he beats Garcia.
It's good matchmaking, in my view.
Great. I think it's a great fight. Yeah. It's great for boxing. It's brilliant.
Yeah. It's great matchmaking for Devin Haney, I'll say.
Yes, because Garcia is a big name. I was talking about him, and I think this is a fight that I think it could stop Garcia.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Now, a little bit of a gear change with our guests.
don't, was keeping it boxing themed because Gary Stretch, as I'm sure most of you will know, was a super welterweight British champion. Challenged for a world title against Chris Eubank, dropped him twice, but ultimately ended up getting stopped himself. Well, Gary has stepped into the world of movies, bit of modelling. He is multi-talented and very kindly gave up a bit of time on Saturday night to come and join me and Gareth in the studio. Here he is.
From St Helens in Lancashire, the Central Area Light Middleweight Champion with 17 wins and one loss, ranked 8th in Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Gary Stretch.
Will Stretch finish it here in the first? Wormhole is in all sorts of bother. Referee Dave Parris, is he stopping it? He has stopped it in the first.
The winner and the new WBC International Light Middleweight Champion, Gary Stretch.
You listen to Fight Night on TalkSport. I'm Adam Cattrall. Gareth A. Davies is alongside me. It's always nice to welcome someone from the northwest of England into the studio, let me tell you, just to make myself feel a little bit more at home. The one and only Mr. Gary Stretch, as you've just known there. I'm sure if you're a proper boxing fan, you'll be fully aware of everything that Gary has done inside the ring. Super welterweight, British champion, of course. Challenge for world title honours against Chris Eubank. But he's not just a boxer. This man, I'll tell you what can we go with? We'll go with model.
We'll go with model,
actor,
film star, Hollywood legend, friend of Mickey
writer.
Rourke. Writer, screenplay writer, director.
I don't think we've ever had this much talent in the studio. How are you, sir?
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Listen, obviously, movies and creativity on that side is now your life and has been for some time. But do you miss the game? Do you miss the fight game?
You know, I miss strange things. Like, I miss food when you're starving. You know, the taste of food. I miss winning. You know, when you win anything, I was just in Vegas, I won a poker tournament. It was like, I was so happy. It was a little tournament.
Apparently you gave half of your winnings to a little old lady sitting next to you as well.
Yeah. but, you know, just when you win something, because it's not every day you win something. And I miss when you're scared a little bit, because I was always nervous before fights. I was not the...
Just mind the language, sorry, Gary.
No worries. So, I was always very nervous, but I think nerves and fear, when you use them in your favour, they're great help. So, you know, adrenaline, you just got to learn to accept it. It's not a big deal. I'm afraid of many things. I still do them. In fact, I'm attracted to fear, you know? So... I used to be scared of flying, so now I want to fly a plane. And them kind of things, I always go and do it. I miss silly things. But I miss the morning after the fight when you wake up and you won and you all that time you prepped and you was nervous and you come through it. And then, of course, you got a couple of weeks where you can just...
Enjoy.
Now life gets boring.
What's it like? We've just had Archie Sharp in the studio, listening to a young fighter and their plights, going through the things with promoters and sanctioning bodies and all these types of things to try and get to the promised land.
I wanted to scream, listen to the boys, because, you know, you don't get a second chance. You can, but there's no need when you're coming up, like, take the time, because... You know, defeat knocks you back so far. Mentally, you know, politically, there's just no need to take risks these days. There's so many opportunities, there's so many titles, there's so many promoters, the new genre of networks. Your chance will come if you're on the brink anyway, and just plan it and make the right choice, because... Like I say, if you don't, then it's a climb of a hill, and of course your value drops, and we're all in the game for one thing, you know, money. Then no one would do it for free.
Did you take that gamble against Chris Eubank then?
Yeah, I mean, they offered me the fight. I honestly felt I would beat him if I was healthy, you know.
But 2.5 weeks' notice.
I'd had a year out. I was in a managerial dispute, so I took a year out of the game and I sat it out. And as soon as the contract was cleared, they must have been watching the, you know, the date. I got a phone call. Do you want to fight Eubanks? And I said, absolutely. And they said, you know, give me the date. So I started laughing. And they said, well, have a think about it. I went to bed. I woke up and said, let's do it. And I hadn't even had running for 6 months. And everyone used to think I was a party. I wasn't. I used to play the game a little bit. I'd go out and have apple juice just to take the piss and the thing, you know, because I wasn't that courageous. You know what I mean? I'm not going to play games and then go in and fight someone. But it just that I had trained and had fought since I'm six. So the contract weighed out was a nice, for me, it was a rest. I thought, I'll have some time off, let my body rest. And then they offer you an incredible opportunity. And I said, give me. But what had happened is, I think he was due to fight someone else and something happened and they needed that date. And anyone with any sense wouldn't jump in at 3 weeks with what's at stake. And then, of course, the foolish Gary Stretch said, I'll do it.
The modern boxing fans obviously know your career and people go back and watch. You had a style very similar to Joe Calzaghe. You were an incredibly fast, aggressive southpaw. But that transformation into an acting career, everybody knows Dead. Everyone's seen your performance in Dead Man's Shoes. Your mates awesome. With Mickey Rourke. You've acted with Anthony Hopkins, Colin Farrell, Angelina Jolie in Alexander. What about that transformation into being a Hollywood actor? And are you still going to carry on and do it?
The thing is, when you're in the... When you turn pro, I turn pro on a blaze of glory because I knocked out 75-0 George Collins. And
first round.
That was a nice good evening in the office. And so I wanted to go to the Olympics and I just started to box internationally. I was with the Olympic training squad. And they were all over me after the Collins fight, you know, the next big thing. And it wasn't like I knocked him out. If you watch the fight, I just destroy him, like, from round. I walked out with my hands by my sides. I knew exactly how to beat him. With Collins, he used to catch everything. I was too fast for him to catch, so I threw half speed. So I led him, and I threw half speed, and he caught it. Then I just showed him, and he went. And I just went, little ride up. And it was like, I count to 100, you know. And so I knew exactly, it's funny, everyone was so like the lamb to the slaughter. I thought, you've no idea, he's going, I told all my mates, he's out, unconscious, one round. And so I had like 2 years to the games. It would have been the 88 games, I think. Richie.
Soul,
yeah. Yeah, Soul. And then I thought, what if I break my hand? Well, and I had some hand problems. I'd had an operation on my hand a couple of times. And I thought, If it doesn't go the way I want it, and it can, it sometimes doesn't. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. No, there's no guarantees in any of this combat sport. I thought, so I just, it's okay. Let's do it. And I come from a small town. I wanted to help my family, and I said, you know, it's more important, like my life, than my victories or my, you know, my ego. I just said, let's make a living. So I dropped out of school. So when I finished, the interesting thing, Gareth, you say the transformation. I dropped out of education. I wasn't, you know, my brothers went to university, speak languages. I was like, no school. So what am I going to do, you know? Go back to school? Or I was so beyond school. So when I finished, it was like, okay, what now? And I went to L.A. to see a friend. I used to train with Freddie Roach in Vegas. So I used to go L.A., London, LA, LA, Vegas, and I never stayed in LA. My mate was an actor. You gotta come. And when I was thinking about finishing, instead of going straight home, I went to see him, he was going on an audition, and he said, "Can you wait in the car? Pick me up from the airport." I sat in the car. It was a rainy day. An incident happened with some people, and an old lady, and I got out, and she thanked me, and she ended up saying, "Are you staying there? And are you an actor?" I said, "No, I'm pro fighter." And anyway, she said, "Let's have lunch." Little old woman, mate. I love old people and dogs. Not the cat man. Although I like big cats. Anyway, and I love cooking. And we were talking about food. It's funny. And so I said, she said, let's have lunch. I said, you've got a date, baby. She's about 70.
You saved her from a road rage incident. You haven't told the whole thing here, but you did save her from a road rage
incident. Yeah, so she gave me a card. My friend gets in the car. He comes down. There's no clue. I had a knife pull me, and it was a whole shebang. I didn't even tell him. He said, where'd you get that card? I said, why? He said, do you know where that is? I said, I knew it was an acting teacher. Anyway, I went and had lunch with her, and she just let me go. Sorry. I thought, what the devil is that? And then someone came out and took me in the back, and Sidney Poitier was doing poetry.
What?
And I sat watching The Long Road, and it was like, wow, the use of language. And then there's a line in the poem I'll never forget. It's over. And she said, Sidney, are you still in love with this woman? And he said, yes. Well, why don't you leave it unresolved? So instead of it's over, he went, it's over? She said, and now he started to break this stuff down. I was like, this is amazing. And I was laughing, I was crying, and I was there 2 hours. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And the other thing was that my mother left when I was a kid. I was raised with my father, who had a man's point of view. Not that it's bad, but he was a man's man. She had a completely different point of view, and I just wanted to learn from her. You know, she made me cry all day. And we finished, and she said, do you want to have lunch? I said, I want to be an actor. She said, start Monday. And I studied with her for 20 years.
20 years later, here we are. What are you doing now, then? You do more movies or not?
I'm going to do a little movie. I've just finished one called The Wheels of Heaven with Desi Tenikajiva, fantastic former Jean-Paul Gaultier face for years, and a really talented actress and a producer, amazing girl. So I went to Bulgaria, and I'm doing, because of Desi, I'm going to do another one there, which I'm going to direct, which Mr. Davis is in.
Get out.
Mr. Davis is...
What are you playing?
I'll let the boss tell you.
He's playing the Wild West Gypsy. He doesn't know he's going to be wearing a G-string.
Traveller. Yeah, exactly. You have to, a leotard with gold teeth and tattoos.
He has it in the wardrobe, but he's in stilettos. And no, it's a fantastic, erotic for him, because he needs to do one for fun. I've known him a long time. And I said, Gareth, it's your time, baby.
Should I accept with this madman?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I've said yes already. So
how long's the shoot in Bulgaria? That could be carnage with you two out there.
Oh, God. yeah, if I get to it. if we do rehearsals, I won't get to the movie with him. I said to Gareth, when did you stop drinking and driving? He said, last week. And I said, why? And he said, I've spilled too much. no, it's going to be probably a six-week shoot, and we're probably going to schedule it middle of the year. It's actors' schedules and then weather. You know, Bulgaria, it's a drive movie. But yeah, we've just finished this little one with Mickey Rourke, with Desi, and that's coming out soon, called The Wheels of Heaven, which is... And the whole process of that film and the fantastic crews and the... I mean, everything. Desi introduced me to a whole new world of filmmaking. The best crew we ever worked with. It was amazing. And she did a job of... She produced the whole movie, but... I've done a lot of movies, but the way she operated and everything was done so brilliantly, I thought, I've got to go back and make movies in Bulgaria. So I'm doing a bunch of projects. We're lining them up. And so that's the next thing. And, of course, putting out the film we just did now, which is going to come out soon. So that'll be two Bulgarian projects. And then, you know, unemployed again.
Winning poker tournaments in Vegas by then. Exactly. You know.
I'll be calling TalkSport. You need a commentator. Exactly.
Absolutely. Listen, this door's all... I think we're going to be doing this a few more times. There's no doubt about that.
I've watched TalkSport for so long. It's one of my favourite shows. And, I told Gareth when he talked about the show, I said, you know, it's a really, really good show. And I'm not a fan of many of them. And then, you know, it's funny, there's a whole big gap in the market for me. I know there's a lot of Johnny Nelson and all these guys who are doing these commentary, and I love them all as people, but I don't think there's a decent sports commentator out there right now. I think they're all a little politically safe. I know who's going to win 90% of the time. We all do. It's, you know, which hole did you dig that guy up from? My granny beat him, you know? But they all create, and I remember when I fought Eubanks, there was Jim Watt commentating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Partial. And Barry McGuigan was working for Barry Hearn. And it was, if you turned two different, if you watch two commentaries, it's two different fights.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does matter, you know? And I even had someone apologize to me, who was McGuigan's friend. He said, I'm sorry that, either a family member, I'm sorry my uncle commentated the way he did, he was so wrong. And it is what it is. But Barry's saying he's going to get killed. And then the interview Michael Watson, who's ringside during the fight, and Watson says, Gary's beating him every round. It's amazing. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so it's like,
it'll always be a sport of opinion.
There's always going to be. Yeah. And I understand. It's like, you know what? I'd like to ask you this. The Josh Taylor, yes. Catterall.
Yes.
Who do you think won it?
The first fight?
Yeah.
Jack Catterall.
Okay.
Yeah, I had Jack Catterall just winning, yeah.
Okay. I couldn't give it to Jack Catterall. And you know what? I kind of watched highlights. And then when I was going to do our podcast, I thought, or this podcast, I thought, because it's coming up next, I thought, maybe they'll ask me, you know, if Catterall's coming up, there's the
April the 27th, yeah.
Yeah. If you watch the fight, Josh Taylor tries so hard to have a fight. He really, and he was exhausted by trying to pull Catterall off him. He hung on to him for dear life for 12 rounds. Round his neck, he never let go of him. He had a little success when he threw his hands, Catterall, and it was amazing.
It was a close, scrappy fight.
Yeah, but every time there was, a fight never happened.
One of the big stories this week is Chantelle Cameron splitting from her trainer Jamie Moore and Nigel Travis and moving over to Sheffield to Grant Smith. And of course, there's been plenty of chat about will they, won't they get the trilogy on for May 25th? Well, we got straight into the Northampton fighter on Saturday night. Here's Chantelle. Let's get stuck straight into it because we've seen the rumours this week that May 25th is when you're going to be out next. Can you confirm anything? Do we know anything a little bit more concrete as of yet?
No, nothing as of yet. I also got told about May the 25th, Kate booked into Box at the Free Arena, but it's not confirmed that it's me yet. I really want it to be me, and I think Kate would want to be fighting me as well to get the trilogy on, but it isn't confirmed.
What did you make of the comments this week? Because I've seen a few interviews this week with Mr. Hearn, and he said, listen, the priority and the preference is obviously you and Katie part three, which I think every single fight fan would like to see. But if that can't materialise, then she'll probably go down the route of a mandatory challenger. What's going to stand in the way of it? There shouldn't be anything standing in the way. You're in. I think she's in. Let's make the fight, yeah?
Yeah, so I don't really watch many interviews, but obviously I get told and asked questions. So when people have said about interim fights, because me and Kate have an interim fight next, personally, I think that's a bad move for both me and Katie. I think now that we've had the rematch, it would be absolutely crazy to have a fight in between. So me personally, I think it's a bad idea, and I imagine Katie's the same.
Thomas Carty, who we heard from earlier in the show, says he's fighting on May the 25th on the undercard of Taylor Cameron, so I'm taking it as read that it may be May the 25th. I'm not going to press you on that, but you know that having been around in this game a long time, yours and Katie's name are going to be linked indelibly forever. Two incredibly close fights, Chantelle. Amazing fights to watch. Fights that brought the house down. What more can you bring this time to separate yourself from her?
I think it's making the improvements. I think my style's not going to change drastically because obviously it'd be crazy to change me completely now and turn me into a counter-puncher or turn myself or something crazy. Like, it wouldn't make sense. But I think it's making them little changes and making them little percentages in my style better, and I think that's going to be the difference between me and Katie. I think our styles gel, we gel and make a great fight, and I think that's what makes me and Katie such a good fight, the fact that we both gel together in the ring. But I think for me to make sure that I get a convincing win over in Ireland, I've got to bring something different to the table. I can't do the same count, bring the same style to the ring and the same kind of energy. I've got to bring something new, because the Chantel that I brought in the last two, well, clearly the second one's a loss, but even the first one, I've got to be better and I've got to bring something a little bit different.
It's very, very arguable with both fights to score them both a draw. I know you don't necessarily agree with me on the first one. You and myself and Jamie have gotten a call and done that. And Jamie at the time, if you recall, said to me, that's the problem with scoring in boxing, judging in boxing. If you end up both with a draw, which, because of your styles, they're such close rounds, could you even go IV number four with her? Would you be prepared to do that as well?
Well, I wouldn't want to go back to Ireland, because this is the year and a half I've spent boxing away. So for me, I really just want to box back in the UK and be at home. But like you said, with the rounds, it's 2-minute rounds, so that's why it's so hard to score.
It was leading me to that next question, Chantel, which is, are you being punished that it's not 3-minute rounds?
Yeah, if it was 3-minute rounds, I think I beat Katie Taylor. I think in a 2-minute round, she hangs on and she's blowing. She's blowing quite heavy, and that's like halfway through the fight. So that extra minute every round, I think it gives me a massive advantage, and it's easy for the judges to score as well. So I'm a massive supporter of the 3-minute round. A lot of people ain't, and everyone's got their decision. Everyone's got their opinions on 2 and 3-minute rounds, but I think us women should be doing 3-minute rounds now. We can't be saying that we want equality and we want the same pay as the men if we're doing 10-2s. Like, it's not a
12-2s. 12-2s. 12-2s.
12-2s, yeah.
8-3s.
I think 10-3s. Okay. Or 12-3s.
We had a debate with Ellen Scottney last week, which was fascinating, and she reckoned up the levels, it should be 8-3s, and then maybe 10-3s for world title fights.
No, I stand by that. Yeah, I stand by that.
Everybody knows where I'm at with this. I think Elite Lady Fighter should
be a 3-round.
I am a 3-minute. I am a 3-minute round guy. Obviously, that is available.
You
to
lose it in the last minute against me, though, Adam. You know that.
Maybe, but that is available for you to campaign for. So, will you be asking for that at the negotiation table for part three of this fight? Will you be asking to do it over 3 rounds, 3-minute rounds?
Do you know, I've actually asked for it the first fight, the second fight, so I'm not going to get it the third fight. I'll be lucky to get the third fight, so I'm just going to get what I'm given.
I've also seen, I don't know whether it was you that did the interview or somebody connected to your camp, talking about pleading for a fair fight. Now, off the back of the second fight, there was, my observations of it was, there was a bit of holding in there that didn't go noticed by a referee, and it didn't go punished at all. And there was also a knockdown that wasn't scored. Again, your thoughts on that, and when you say pleading for a fair fight, what are you referring to?
So, to be honest, I've not watched the fight back. So at the moment, it's still quite rough. Obviously, I'm going to have to watch it at some point. But the night was a quite heavy night, because I don't deal with blood very well for a start. So that was not very nice. The blood that was coming out of my head, that was quite horrible. But I am going to have to watch it at some point. But I think, obviously, from being in the ring, and when I did throw the jab, I knew it connected, and my foot was 100% not on her foot. But I knew I hadn't hurt her. Like, I knew that it was just, I landed a good shot, it was a solid shot, and she went down. But I'm not saying I hurt her, or wobbled her, or anything, because I didn't. But if a knockdown is, if a glove connects and someone goes down, it should be counted as a knockdown.
I agree.
So
it was very odd.
That's my argument to that.
It was very, very odd. It was a very odd moment.
Come on, it was a knockdown. She landed a punch and she went down.
It was a very odd moment. One of the weirdest things I think I've ever seen in boxing, frankly, that it wasn't scored
or not. Like, I do think it did set the time for the rest of the fight. I honestly do believe that, because I think it gave Katie advantage. I was kind of like, what's just gone on? And yeah, then the fight continued.
Did the feet touch, Chantal, in your view?
The feet did not touch, no, 100%. If you stand on someone's foot, was if you're sparring, and you accidentally stand on someone's foot,
you know.
I wouldn't say sorry in a fight, but I would know if my foot connected. But it's true, isn't it?
Like, yes, of course.
If my foot landed on her foot, I would have known. And I would have said, oh, my foot did land. I wouldn't have to lie about it because there'll be footage of seeing my foot. But if you look at the footage, and I've got so much little clips of and pictures where you see my foot is on the outside of hers.
Yeah.
And there's actually space between. So my foot did not go on her foot.
What's the, I think you kind of alluded to this a little earlier on in the conversation. What's the thought process between then changing coaches? Because it seemed like you had a really good relationship there with Jamie and Nigel. It was going well. Like I said, I've said that first fight you won, second fight you obviously come off on a narrow points decision loss. Why change it now?
So, James, I still love Jamie and Nigel to pieces. It wasn't anything to do with the relationship, anything to do with the actual fight night or nothing. But what it is for me is Manchester's a long way from my house. And it kind of was like getting to the point where I've been there 5-6 years. And since the age of 18, I've always travelled away from home. And everyone thinks and everyone's got this narrative that because I lost, I changed teams. And it wasn't that. The plan was always going to be I wanted to be closer to home, even before my fight with Katie. So it was kind of like, I was talking to my manager, I was talking to my family, my friends. It was kind of like, we'll do this fight with Katie. And then I needed a change. I needed something a little bit different. And Sheffield's still 2 hours, but it's an hour less. And to begin with, it was, I was going to stay in Northampton. So my manager was thinking about me staying in Northampton and getting a coach to come to me.
Yeah,
that just wasn't going to work. It wasn't. That was the first plan, but it wasn't going to work because there was no one that would have done that, and understandably as well. And I've always liked Grant Smith. I've always got on with him. I like his stable. So I asked my manager to reach out to him and see if he'll give me a trial. And I went there and I absolutely loved it. And the thing is now it's something so new, so different. And I'm loving it. Like, I'm enjoying boxing. I'm excited to be in the gym, and it's just a fresh start for me.
Can I ask?
Because back in...
Chantal, can I ask? What I'm envisaging now, I get the reasoning, what I'm envisaging now, and I am disappointed because as a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, that I'm disappointed that you don't like the sight of blood, Buffy. But I am picturing you, get this, I'm picturing you sparring a lot with Sonny Edwards, whose movement is in and out, and who may be able to ape that style of Katie Taylor. I know he's a smaller guy, but there are people in that camp that might give you the style that you need for Katie Taylor. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, no. I was only a technical spar with Dalton Smith the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm such a fan of Dalton Smith. And this is another positive for moving camps is I'm a fan of Dalton. So I was having a move out of him and I was actually in awe and I had them nerves as if I was a beginner again. And Grant was like, why are you nervous? Like, you're a former world champion, all this. And I was thinking it was because I was so excited to be sharing a ring with someone I'm a fan of. So things like that, it's all like so fresh again for me and it's exciting. So as much as I love Jamie and Nigel, I needed to do this. And it is selfish, because Jamie and Nigel have done so much for me and we've had such a good journey, but this is such a short career. I had to do something that I know that I needed to do.
Mm. Are they still giving you advice?
No, not really. I think I've been to Grant and they respect Grant, and Grant and Jamie had a chat. Me and Jamie had a chat and stuff, and obviously now things are just moving forward with the new team.
This week coming, Sam Eggington is hoping to become a multi-time European champion. He did it at welterweight. Can he do it at super welterweight? You'll be able to check him out on the TV. Channel 5 is your destination for the showdown. Sam joined us on TalkSport on Saturday night to give us a preview of the fight. 7 days out, mate. Is the hard sparring done? Is now a case of just tapering down, just keeping the blood flowing a little bit before you get going next week?
Yeah, it's always the worst because it's just, you could fight tomorrow, it could be on weight practically, if you asked me for 24 hours to be on weight, I probably could do it, So it's just literally waiting and holding it. But again, it's part of camp and you got to try and enjoy every minute, haven't you?
Mate, you absolutely do. Your career is absolutely bonkers, right? Because obviously we've snaffled British titles, Commonwealth titles, European titles along the way. We've been up and down in weights. We've been in with some of the very, very best. We've beaten some. We've lost to some. Last time we saw you, we were there. We were out in the sunshine in Bournemouth, my friend. And it felt like the marketing throughout the course of the week, it felt like that you were being brought in to showcase the other guy. Yeah, and
exactly.
you were having none of it, were you, lad? You know what I mean? He's supposed to knock you over, mate.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of fights that I've had that build up and had that feel about him. But again, I don't stress it. I don't overstress anything. You know, I'm here to do my job. You know, whether I'm at the top of the card, the 12 rounder, or I'm at the bottom of the card doing a 4 rounder, I'll train the same, no matter who I've got. Where it is and how many rounds, you won't catch me not giving it everything. And that's what these people forget. These people think, you know, he's had a few fights, he's been here a few years, you know, it's time to take him. But as soon as it's time to take me, I'll pack in myself anyway. You won't be catching me getting knocked over for a bit of change here and there. It won't happen. So for anyone thinking, oh, let's get Sam now, you've got the wrong frame of mind, because I don't work like that. I'm not here to earn some money. I'm here to win bouts and prove people wrong. And like I say, I've showed that in my last few.
From an achievement point of view, mate, obviously we've had many a conversation of driving forklift trucks and then doing this as a journeyman and then having a career from it. To become a multi-time European champion, that's what's facing you next week. Multi-time European champion. That is absolutely bonkers from where you were 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, again, and this is what drives me. I know people don't think I should be doing this. I know people, deep down think this is wild to me. So I know that people deep down think there's no way Sam can do this. And every time, proving them wrong, I've won an area title, I've won a British title, I lost the British, people thought I was done. I won the European, I lost the European. Who thought I was done. Again, I climb. I won the IBO, won the WBC silver at middleweight. All these accomplishments, I'm proving people wrong. A lot of people just always presume it's not going to happen. And that's what drives me on. And like you say, people don't think I should be doing it or I should be here. And, you know, you don't have the talent and so on and so forth. But it is what it is, Pa. I've proved people wrong, you know, too many times to care. Next week will be another one.
Sam, I've known you a long time. You've been in the game 12 years. You're a very, very experienced fighter. I think it's 42 fights now, isn't it? I mean, there's not many people that have that many fights at the moment. I think you turned pro at 18. You're 30 now. I've watched you for years. I want
to ask. He's got another 10 years left, Gareth.
No, I don't think he has. And I think he's saying that himself as well. He's making the most of it while he knows he's still got it. What is it that still drives that warrior spirit in you, Sam?
I keep saying this to people, and people think I'm mad, and I get it. But as long as I'm paid, I'll do this without, you know, people call it fame. I'd do this without being on the front covers. I'd do this without 20,000 people watching. You know, if
why?
It was just me.
Why? Dig inside yourself and tell us what it is in you that where it comes from.
I don't know where it comes from. I just enjoy what I do. I enjoy what I do. I like that. I moan every day at training, but I enjoy the training, the boxing. I enjoy the competition. I enjoy what I do. Like I say, as long as money goes in the bank, I'd do this if not a soul knew I was doing it. And I think that's what's kept me here. That's why I'm still here. People always say, you know, you got rounds, you know, you got miles on the tank and stuff like that. But it's the miles I've chose. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one's dragged me through a war. If any of my fights have been a war, that's because I've chose it to be. Do you know what I mean? If all the fights that I'd been in that were a war, they'd brought it to me, I think I wouldn't be here still. Maybe it would have took a lot out of me, but the fact that I've chose it, I chose to box that way and I've chose to make the fight that way, that's why I'm still here. I enjoy my job, and the way I fight is how I'm comfortable fighting. And I know not a lot of people are like that, but that's how I am. I can't explain it. Again, some of my best fights have been in the later years. That's not because, you know, I'm trying to. That's just because that's how I box. It just is what it is.
We haven't mentioned some of the world champions you faced as well, in Liam Smith and Paulie Malignaggi and others. Can I ask you about tattoos for a minute? Because we can see you right now. Is there any flaming space on your body for another tattoo? And do you get one after every fight? Because you must have more than 50 tattoos.
So early days, I had a mate, and he had a, I've still got a mate, he's still got a tattoo shop. I used to rock up there after a fight and we'd just go at it. Yeah. Lately I've died down a bit, but I've still got the space. I've got an arm to cover and a bit more back to cover.
Favourite tattoo? Come on, you're on your face. Come on. Favourite tattoos?
I like this Sinner and Saints on my shoulders. I like the Savage across my belly.
I love it.
Got a few.
What does Abbas Barau bring you next week, mate? What are the challenges that you face next week?
It goes without saying he's a decent operator. You know, no one's dumbing him down or anything like that. But I don't watch him. You know, I leave it to the team. I've watched a few 30, 40-second clips through camp. He's a decent operator. He does nothing outstanding, but he does everything well. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But he's nothing I've never seen before. You know, boxing with amateurs, you know, the Glenn Foots, the, you know, Frankie Gavins, Ted Cheeseman's. I've boxed the good amateurs that have turned into good pros. And this might be, you know, blowing smoke up my own ass, but I don't feel like he's fought anyone with the pressure or the intensity that I'll bring. I feel like that's hard to find, if I'm honest. But again, you know, we'll see on the night. But it's not an easy fight. No, at this point, but in this stage, but it's one that I'm confident of. It's one that I definitely think I'll be able to fight and do a job on.
There you have it. Action packed from start to finish. Thoroughly enjoyable to do. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can get it on the TalkSport website or with your regular podcast providers. Make sure you hit subscribe. You'll never miss out on any of our content. And throughout the course of the week, make sure you subscribe to the TalkSport Boxing YouTube channel. Plenty of awesome boxing content coming your way. I'll be back next week for another Fight Night extravaganza.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.